I'm going to bring up one of our favorite, well, I can't say that because I love all of our teachers, but, you know, George is the Yogi Berra of teachers. He is our sage. And bringing up George is always a privilege and an honor. And, of course, I have to use a baseball, you know, euphemism with George. So let's bring George Lair up. I'm going to pray for our dear brother. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have George come up and just bless us with the words that you have imprinted and impressed upon him. Lord, we pray that our hearts and minds would be open, that you would allow George to say exactly what it is that you want him to say and for us to process and put that into application. And so we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. George Lair.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Good morning. I have a confession to make. I almost overslept. Woke up, it said 5:37 on my clock. I went, it's time for Superman to jump into his suit. Out the door I flew. Anyway, today's topic is crucified with Christ. I'm going to read the passage. It's in Galatians 2, starting in verse 11, and goes all the way to 21. But when Caiaphas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when he came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Caiaphas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like a Jew? Then we get into the topic of justification by faith. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through the faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. But if no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I now live is the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, even Christ died, then Christ died for no purpose. This is a great passage. There are three key points, and let me get my slide thing up here. There are three main points here that I want to go over. Obviously, crucified with Christ is the last one we're going to talk about. But the first point is we look at Paul, and he opposes Peter, who's being a hypocrite. Peter didn't want to be separated from the Judaizers. They believed, in addition to having faith in Christ, you also had to be circumcised in order to comply with the law for salvation. Peter knew eating unclean food was unacceptable to his Judaizer friends. So in this case, he didn't want to be separated from these guys. He probably knew them, and he was like, oh, I'm going to just slide over here with these guys because I don't want to offend them. Well, in doing so, he was denying the gospel. And that's what Paul calls him out on. Paul called Peter a hypocrite, for he knew that in Acts 10, Peter knew that all food was considered clean by God. And so, you know, it was like the food didn't have to be kosher. Peter acted out in a personal concern and being rejected by the Judaizers. Paul was basically telling Peter he was denying the truth of the gospel. What's interesting is Paul, when he made that statement to Peter, Peter didn't argue with him. Peter was convicted. He understood what Paul was saying to him. We get into the topic of justified by faith. By the way, there's the law that I posted. Justified by faith. Both Jew and Gentiles are placed in a righteous relationship through faith in Jesus Christ alone. When you read in Romans and Ephesians, it addresses justification quite a bit. Especially, I want to read Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Some people say, I was at with a group of men, we were talking about this verse, and one guy said, you know, what is really being said here is that the gift is grace. And I said, well, I don't read the Bible quite that way. I sort of read it as the gift that you get when God gives you grace. Remember what grace is. Grace is something you do not deserve. None of us deserve God's grace. And there's different types of grace. There's common grace. We've got common grace right now. It's drizzling outside. The rain, the grace that God gives us, that rain falls on the sinner as well as the believer. But when we talk about the gift of salvation, that's not the case. The gift of salvation is to the believer. It's the one that God chooses. Remember what Christ said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them. So there's something mystical about the work of God in your life. Everyone in this room that has accepted Christ, it's a gift of grace. God sent his Holy Spirit and made you alive. And that's what Christ was talking about. No one can come to me unless the Father draws them. What's kind of interesting here is no one can obey the law, yet that is exactly what the Jews tried to do, and that's what the Judaizers did. The law is like a mirror. When you look at it, it condemns you. It shows how you have sinned against God. Crucified with Christ. Before addressing this topic, I want to address what is the gospel. There are two aspects of the gospel. The first part is the person and the work of Jesus Christ. This is the core of the gospel. But the second part, and it's key, is faith. If you don't believe Christ died for your sins on the cross and accept him as your Lord and Savior, what he did doesn't apply to you. You will die in your transgressions and sins. As I said before, throughout Paul's ministry, he battled the Judaizers. And if you, whether you read Galatians, whether you read Philippians, I don't care what book in the Bible you look at, on the 13 letters that Paul wrote, somewhere in there you'll see him stating what the gospel truly is. And the reason he's doing this is because not only were the Judaizers making fun of him and saying, you know, Paul's okay, but he's really not preaching to you the true gospel. You have to be circumcised. You have to obey the law. Well, that's so untrue. They tried to discredit Paul in doing that. This issue of faith and works was the same issue that the Reformers, Luther and Calvin, faced with the Catholic Church. Paul made the point that we were saved unto good works, not by good works. James 2:17 says, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. This verse drove Luther crazy. He used to call James the epistle of straw because he didn't understand it. And after a while, he kept looking at it and reading it over and over. He finally understood what James was saying. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, God has already prepared works for you to perform beforehand. And you will walk in them and you will do them. Now, do you do them all? I confess, I don't. And I think anybody else probably agrees they're in that same boat. Sometimes God places something before you to do, and unfortunately, after that opportunity goes by, you go, oh, geez, what was I thinking? I had an opportunity to either share the gospel with that person who was hurting or do something to help that person. So good works are something God prepares for us beforehand. I also want to now talk about the key topic, being crucified with Christ. You know, once a month, let me get to that slide for you. Once a month, we show people being baptized in the little pool we have out here in the church. And I want to read Romans 6, verse 2. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. This is exactly what happens when we are baptized. I think of Bob Thornton when he says, you're buried with Christ and what? Raised to what? New life. You're raised to new life. That's exactly what happens when you're baptized. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? No, you don't. It's you showing your friends and whoever else you want them to know you're a believer in Christ, and this is how you do it. In the Old Testament, very similar to that issue was being circumcised. But in the New Testament, it's baptism. And there are two types. There's the infant baptism, and there's the dunking. Of the two, I believe the dunking is the right one, even though I've had both. This is a blessing, gents, to know that if we are in Christ, if there's just one person in this room that doesn't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, today's the day. Come talk to me when we're all done. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Gentlemen, I'll put the questions up on the board for you. It's been a pleasure sharing this with you. God bless you.